broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
She put her full hand on my breast.
Ask me in another couple of weeks.
The truth is that when you meditate, it allows.
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican.
Things are bad.
My head was shaking.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass every night we go, and we go places other talk shows wish, pray, hope, you know, that they could and they can't, man, but that's why you got us. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for live streaming video, live streaming audio, all of our archives, thousands of hours. And we have our uncensored pre-show rants. We got our classic Phil podcast. We've got our regular podcast. We got it all, baby. The news feed, guaranteed email response from Phil if you're a BSP. So check it out. A Florida family is the first in the nation to camp outside a Best Buy for Black Friday sales. A Florida family. The first in the nation to camp outside of a Best Buy for the Black Friday sales coming up on Friday after Thanksgiving. And joining us to discuss this in our second hour is Dr. Ron Tarner, who we have held over, and he's been gracious enough to stay with us. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, KKAT 860 AM in Salt Lake City and KFQD 750 AM in Anchorage, Alaska. And coming up tomorrow night, our Saturday night show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio in the city of Los Angeles, which is our hometown here. So we're starting a Saturday night show over there on KFI as well. 877-876-PHIL. Again, Dr. Ron Tarner joining us, who is on his way to Boca Raton tomorrow for a some kind of a science conference. I'm not exactly sure what that is, Dr. Tarner. I don't think you've actually told us, but you say that you have a vaccine.
That is correct, Bill, and it's revolutionary work from the standpoint of what it's going to be toward treating disease.
All right, I understand that, and I want to talk about that, but in order for you to be at this conference tomorrow, you've left your son in line at Best Buy in Denver, and it's 29 degrees right now in Denver, and I don't know how much colder it's going to get.
Well, I have to tell you, I really resent what a lot of people have been saying here.
Hold on, let me just recap. Okay.
All right.
And then I definitely want to hear what you're saying, but this is what I know. Your son is by himself outside of a Best Buy because the family in Florida got there before you guys, so you want to be there early in order to capitalize on media attention. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And the media attention you want to capitalize on will allow your son, your 13-year-old son, to mention you to the media.
That is correct. His father, who he is very proud of, I'm sorry that you're not going to interview Jeff, and I know that you asked to interview him, and I told you that you could not, because he is a minor.
Well, you have him doing so many other things.
Hold on, because he is a minor, because he's very, very proud of me, Bill. On Thanksgiving Day, I have a friend from the University of Denver who has invited us, meaning myself and Jeff, to Thanksgiving dinner, and I said to Jeffrey, you understand that staying in line is going to help Dad, and he said yes. Now understand, this is a boy who doesn't care that he's missing Thanksgiving dinner at my friend's house. He'll stand there in line. We're going to bring him a covered plate.
And your 13-year-old son is not going to be having Thanksgiving dinner with you?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but yes, he is.
And well, you said that he's going to be in line.
He's going to be in line. He's going to be spiritually having Thanksgiving dinner with a father that's very proud of him. But I need him there in case the media comes by to interview people about being in line at Best Buy.
And did you say that he is in line at Best Buy for anything in particular?
Yes, I did. And I got to tell you something, Phil. I'm laughing. You sound very announcery. Did you say he was in Best Buy? Blah, 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 blah. You sound very as if you're indicting me.
All right. Did you say he's in line at Best Buy for something in particular?
Yes, I did.
And what is that?
You know what it is because I told you.
Could you please tell my audience? I mean,
yes, it's a side-by-side refrigerator. It's black. And they didn't have black. All right. My son is happy for me. And he's willing to make the sacrifices necessary for my work. Why is that bad? Why do you treat it as a crime?
Because as one lady pointed out last hour, if you're asking me, Ron, I'm going to tell you, as one lady pointed out last hour, he's a little boy.
All right, that was what the lady said. Now, what do you think?
I agree with that.
You agree with it because that's what she said, and you thought, oh, that's a great idea. That's my argument.
No, that is not what I... You know something? You must think that the idea of caring for a child is very unique. It's not. And I agree with what she said because he's a kid, and those are not decisions that kids make. I personally, if you want my honest opinion, I'm sick and tired of the world we live in where we are increasingly treating children under the age of 18 more and more like adults. More and more as if, oh, they have the right and they have the knowledge and they have the wisdom to make that decision. More and more as if we sexualize them.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I'm not sexualizing my son.
No, you're not doing that, but you are basically treating him like an adult and saying, well, he's old enough, he can make this decision. You know,
he's not a little boy. He's mature and old enough to be on his own for a few days. He's 13. And I think a week away from his baba. Yeah, that's really at the bottom line of this, isn't it? Is it, Mr. Henry?
No, it isn't. You mean making him into a mama's boy?
That's what you, and I noticed there were a number of the women that I talked to last hour, and this is what's going on in our country. These women, what they want to do, I don't know if you know this or not, what they want to do, they want to geld the American male. They want to take away what's left of our masculinity, and they want to take every little boy and turn him into a ba-ba boy. I will not allow that to happen to my son. I regret marrying his mother. I've said it a billion times. But she's not getting her butt hooks into him. And I've got that boy through Thanksgiving. So she will not be allowed to have her hooks in him. My brother-in-law won't be able to have his butt hooks in him. And certainly not my father-in-law, who the only thing he likes better than a bottle of Hennessy is a stack of Playboys.
You don't like that woman's family? You don't like her, do you?
No, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call, and we're on with Dr. Ron Tarner here from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Hey, how you doing, Phil? Hey, listen. Are you there?
Hello? We're here, yep.
Yeah. I had originally called in to tell you that, you know, I'm kind of taking a different angle at this. I have a daughter. When I take her to the mall, she's 15. I wait outside the bathroom for her to come in and go out. You know, it's a different world these days. The doctor really needs to pay more attention to his son. The other thing I see here is...
I don't understand what you mean about waiting for your daughter in a bathroom. What does that mean?
Well, you got to watch your children, sir. You know, the...
No, I know that. I understand that. But in a mall? You know that teenagers go to malls all the time.
Yeah.
Young people are in malls all the time.
And you know what? But listening to the other callers, and I got to take a different angle at this, you know, maybe this child is safer where he is, Phil, you know, away from this father and the rest of that family because he obviously has a problem. This is almost
what,
like...
What problem do I... Excuse me, sir. You know, you could say I have a problem, but I love my son, and my son wants to do this for his father. I have no choice. I've got to go to Boca Raton. I've got to present this paper.
Your son has a choice. He doesn't have to be outside the Best Buy.
Another family in where? What state? This man's in Florida. Some group of trailer, you know what? They're parked out in front of a Best Buy in St. Petersburg right now. What am I supposed to do about that?
Well, in St. Petersburg, sir, it's probably about 60 degrees in St. Petersburg right now. It's
good point. Very good point.
And there
29 degrees in Denver.
Yeah, 29 yeah, right. degrees. You guys keep leading on 29 degrees in Denver as if there's no such thing as a jacket.
Well, okay, so there's a jacket, you know, and there are sleeping bags. But there's one thing that he doesn't have, his father.
He has his father. He wants me. What do you say to a kid that wants his old man to go to Boca Raton?
Well, you're not in Boca Raton right now, so why aren't you with this man right now?
Because I'm actually finishing up at the lab in Denver. I'm on my way to the airport.
So you can't even be with this boy right now?
I think I just answered your question, Mr. Henry. You know, why is it that you guys don't get this? A I'll tell you why. It's the reason that I said at the beginning, the women that I talked to last hour, the men of this country have had their you-know-whats taken away from them and placed in a jar somewhere. And until such time as we get back our ability to make our own decisions and
our ability to make our own decisions and take care of our own children as opposed to going to Boca Raton. Steve, thank you. Thank you. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. And
oh, you know, I wanted to, you've done that before. Can I mention something?
Yeah.
Every time you go to your commercial break, thank you. Very good call. Thank you. Very good call. And that is your way of digging it in a little bit, isn't it? That's your way of, you see an open wound that I have, and you stick your, or you put iodine on it, huh? Is that what you do?
No. No, that's not what I do.
Well, don't say it like you think I'm nuts.
Of course I think that there's something wrong with anybody that says, I got to go to Boca Raton because there's a vaccine that I'll be unveiling that allows man to blur the line between human and animal. My son is there because he's very proud of the work I'm doing, so he's going to stand in line alone at Best Buy, alone in 29-degree weather, alone with God knows how many strangers, over the weekend by himself in a parking lot, because another family got to Best Buy earlier, so you guys want to make sure you get the media attention too, and your son will be talking about you. And that's far preferable for him than staying with your wife, your ex-wife, your brother-in-law, or your father-in-law with his Hennessy and his Playboys.
Very good. That's exactly right. Very good.
Yeah, thank you. 877-87. I'll tell you something right now. All men want to be successful, and all men want their children to be proud of them. But no man sacrifices a child to the altar of his own career and ego. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with Dr. Ron Tarner on the subject of Black Friday, waiting in line for Black Friday, and some vaccine that blurs the line between man and animal on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. He's in Denver, Colorado tonight, on his way to Boca Raton tomorrow for a conference where I understand you'll be unveiling some work that you've been doing. You'll be reading a paper on some work you've been doing, sir. But again, I want to say, as the other callers have indicated, you know, this is a boy of 13. This is a child by himself, sir, in a day and age, and certainly we've been in that day and age for a long time, where children are simply not safe.
You know, Phil, I'm sorry to have to bring this up, but you're talking about my son. And I just heard you while you were playing, the commercial, during the commercial, and I heard you talking to your producer about D-Day and a landing craft being hit by a rocket that killed a man's brother. Now, how can you get your kicks talking about a guy's brother getting blown to bits and talk about...
I didn't talk about that getting my kicks. I was looking at a show...
No, sir, hold on. You're talking about my son and how I don't protect my son, and you're talking about a guy's brother getting blown up in a landing craft. Yeah, I find the hypocrisy, sir.
Dr. Tarner, I brought that up as a way of conversation and curiosity to my producer and to my engineer. I'm watching this show, and I saw this man, Mr. Ellers, okay?
I don't know who he is. Who cares about him?
He won the Congressional Medal of Honor, and his brother he saw killed on Omaha Beach.
And you think that's funny?
Why would you say I think that's funny?
Well, then why are you assuming that I think... that my son's life is valuable. It's valuable if he helps me too. Am I valuable if I don't help my son?
No, you are not.
Is my son valuable if he doesn't help me? No, he is not.
And yes, he is.
Well, you have a different philosophy.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, on to Tupelo, Mississippi, WKMQ. Jennifer, hi. Here is Jennifer. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Sir, I think you're being very much... Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yes.
Yes. I think you're being much too materialistic, and to me, you're obviously using your son, one, to get this refrigerator that apparently is more important to you than your son's health and well-being. And,
no, it's not. And two,
you're using him to get some kind of media coverage so that he can talk about you. You know, why can't you do this on your own? Why do you have to use your son and leave him alone all weekend long in that cool degree weather with, I'm assuming, no food or anything? You know, that's crazy.
I gave my son $20 for the delivery. They're not allowed to, he's not allowed to leave the line in case someone tries to get in front of him. So, and there's a porta potty on site, but he's also, what I've done is I've given him a jar.
Given him a jar. Is that to use for the bathroom?
You can't leave the line.
Oh, my goodness.
My son wants to do this.
And not only that, the women of the United States of America are not trying to demasculine men, okay?
Yes, they are.
You need some serious help.
Do you have sons?
Okay.
Do you have sons?
Have you not made it to the airport yet?
You people seem to want to get me out of town. You want to get me out of town so fast. I'm finishing up my work.
Okay, I don't even care to talk to you very much longer, but I'm just saying you're obviously using your son, and you do not deserve your son. My son wants to see me present that paper on this new talk radio show. I don't want to say anymore.
Thank you, sir. That's what she does. That's what she calls you, Phil, sir.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. I'm Phil.
She doesn't care what your name is. She doesn't care. She's using you. That's the way women, that right there. That's proof. As she said, what, did you hear her? She said that the women of America wanted a demasculine.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very literate.
You know something, Ron? The lady her point was made very, very well. All right.
Look, my son is fine. My son has a jacket, a sleeping bag. His asthma medication was filled.
Asthma medication. So this child has asthma.
Do you have asthma? Do you know anyone who has asthma? Do you know how it is controlled very easily?
You've got a 13-year-old out there, 29-degree weather.
You know, you can talk all you want. My son wants that paper delivered on blurring the line between human and animal, and he wants it delivered at 10 o'clock, bright and early, Sunday morning, right there in the banquet room of the Boca Sheridan.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to another phone call. This is Bill, listening on WTLS tonight. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Turner, I want to tell you...
Yes, sir. What's that?
You're an idiot. You've obviously never been to a Black Friday at all, at any store.
Yes, I have.
I used to do security, sir, and I've seen people almost trampled. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Sending a kid in there to do something that you're afraid to do. You're obviously afraid to do it, or you would be doing it yourself.
So you're calling me chicken. Is that it? You call me chicken? Are you calling me chicken?
I'm absolutely calling you chicken, sir.
Maybe that's it. Maybe you're gutless.
You're calling me gutless. I just want to be clear. You're calling me gutless.
You're putting your son's life in danger because you're greed. You're an idiot. I've done security stores where people were almost trampled. I was almost trampled, sir. And I'm an adult.
They shouldn't have had you doing security then, should they? Are you telling me that I've got a big yellow stripe going up my back?
Yes, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
I got a big, bright yellow stripe, huh?
Yeah, banana yellow. Right, bright yellow. A big, bright yellow stripe going up your back.
So everything that I've said about having a paper that I'm delivering on blurring the line between man and...
Yeah, man and animal and all this stuff, yes.
That's garbage.
What do you mean by that?
That's nothing compared to a child's life. Nothing. There's nothing
a vaccine,
compared to a child's life.
a vaccine that could prevent lycanthropy, and you say that's garbage. A vaccine that can finally stop what has bedeviled mankind for centuries.
Lycanthropia?
Yes.
That's a psychological condition.
It has not bothered me a minute, sir.
Lycanthropia hasn't bothered you yet.
It has.
But if they find you
not bothered me. And it will not
yet. Really? What if they find you with your throat ripped out some morning? And an eviscerated sheep nearby, just thrown in for, you know.
All right. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Lycanthropia.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our website is philhenryshow.com. So if you're listening to us or you choose to watch us, you can do that. If you're around, I don't know, if you're not around a radio station that carries the show, which is very, very possible, you can always check us every night on our live-streaming videocast at philhenryshow.com. And if you have a mobile phone, you can watch our videocast mobile on your Evo or on your Android phone. And as we continue to venture together into this marvelous world of the new delivery system of content is what we're calling it now. We no longer call it radio. We just call it whatever delivery system you have of content. We're going to have ourselves ready for live streaming video on iPhone as well, because we're going to be going HD in the next couple of months and a lot of different things. So check us out, philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is our Vice President of Syndication, David G. Hall, who right now is, I think he's in Pasadena, having some dinner, a late dinner. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil.
And so tomorrow night, and we've been talking to our national audience, we're talking to our Los Angeles audience. We're on in Los Angeles on KTLK, and we are going to be acquiring a second affiliate.
That's correct, and this was a negotiation that was very, very well. It wasn't tough, but it was one in which I had to walk a very fine line. I don't know if you ever saw the old TV show Kung Fu.
Yeah.
At the end of the. What they would show you in Kung Fu at the beginning is the way that the Kung Fu monk was graduated from the Kung Fu monastery. He had to walk on rice paper without tearing the rice paper.
Yes, exactly, because his step had to be very light.
Yeah, his step, the way he stepped had to be so delicate and so light that no one could hear it. So, and that is, and I say this with as much humility as I can, that's, if you want to know what I looked like, and not that I looked this way, but if you wanted a mental picture of what my negotiation with KFI was like, imagine me as a Kung Fu monk walking barefoot on rice paper.
Okay.
So that is what I did. And
Tell me, what does that mean?
Well, what it means, what does it mean? It means that I was, you know the TV show Kung Fu, right?
Yes, I know the TV show, yeah.
All right, I was walking like that.
No, I know, you're symbolically, okay.
No, not symbolically. That's what I did every day when I went there to negotiate for you on behalf of your show. I took off my shoes, and I tiptoed through the hallways. I'm kidding around.
Yeah, will you talk serious to me?
I'm joking, but what I am saying to you is this. It was a interesting negotiation. KFI is obviously, Phil, a radio station that you started out in Los Angeles on. KTLK is their sister station. You're on in New York at WWRL. You're on in Chicago at WKRS. Miami at Waxy. WCFO in Atlanta. We've got TNT in Washington, D.C., and on at KNEW in San Francisco, which, of course, is a great Cairo in Seattle, KFMB in San Diego. We've got a lot of wonderful affiliates all over the country, Dallas, Houston. Now, with the Saturday Night Show in Los Angeles, you have an opportunity to tap into the second largest talk radio audience in America, second only to W. Is there a...
W what?
It starts with a W.
Okay, so it's east of the Mississippi.
What's that mean? East of the Mississippi.
If it's a W, it's an East Coast or Eastern Station.
But what does that mean, east of the Mississippi? What does that mean?
That's where all the W's are.
You know, don't be a radio geek. What is it?
That's what... If you said W, that's what I'm saying, okay?
Well, W is... Stations that are W are on the East Coast.
Yeah, they're on the East Coast. They're also in Central, you know, Central...
Central what? Central America? What do you mean Central?
Chicago. Is that East Coast?
No, but what do you mean Chicago? Because I know there's a station in Minneapolis, KSTP, right?
Yeah.
Okay, where's Minneapolis? Oh, excuse me. That's Central too, ain't it? And there's a station in Pittsburgh called KDKA, and there's a station in Philadelphia called KYW. So what are you talking about?
David, I know...
No, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you that the FCC at one point designated all stations east of the Mississippi would start with a W.
Well, guess what? They don't.
Well, way back when... You're right.
What do you mean, way back when? What?
KDK, you're talking about KDKA in Pittsburgh? KDKA in Pittsburgh goes back to the 20s.
Yeah, well, so do a lot of stations.
All right, well, that's what they called it then. They didn't change the call letters because they'd already had the call letters set.
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that the only thing about going on KFI is that it's tricky because, and this is why I'm on with you right now, Phil, I want, and your listeners will be interested in this. When you say... KFI, you're gonna want to say another letter because there's four letters usually in KFI, you know, like KFIG, KFIG, or say, you know, KFIG. There is a KFIG, in fact, in Fresno. But, or you may want to say KFIN, or, you know, KFIN, or just, but no, don't do that, all right?
No, I understand.
Okay, so you know that, so you're not tempted to say another letter?
No, I'm not.
What is it with you, man? You know all about where the West Coast stations are and the W and it...
But no, what's so weird about that?
It's got three letters.
Yeah, there's some stations that have three.
Oh, there's some stations. Everybody knows that every station has four. This has got three. Now, right there, I'm bothered. And I said to them when I was negotiating with them, is there a way Phil can say another letter? So you're telling me that I was wasting my time.
If that's what you brought up in negotiations with KFI, yeah, you were wasting time, all right. What do I care?
Well, what do you want?
Well, I'd rather, if you're going to negotiate on my behalf, money is one thing, you know. There's a lot of things that we talked about in terms of contractual obligation. I don't need another letter to say.
You don't need a boy. You really are something, aren't you? You're just... Tonight, you're on top of the world. I know your ego's got you, doesn't it? Your ego flying high because you're on KFI tomorrow night. You know, you've been on a lot of radio stations in a lot of years, Phil. And I don't mind telling your audience, it ain't worked out all that good. So would you mind doing me a favor? Just a little favor, Phil?
Yeah.
How about making this one work out? All right? That's why I went in there and I tried to do my best.
Yeah, okay. So, look, you know, we really want this to be a success for Phil. Can he have another letter to say?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, come on.
There's three letters, man.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stations with three letters, okay?
All kinds of... If I was a dork reading broadcasting back issues, yeah, I think there were two. You know?
Well, you just brought up one, KYW in Philly, and there's WOR in New York, and there's KNX and KFI in L.A., and there's KGO in San Francisco, and there's KYA in San Francisco. It used to be, anyway, KYA in San Francisco, KOA in Denver, and...
Here we go. We're going down memory lane now with Radio Dork. Yeah? What else?
I'm telling you how many three letters there are.
Well, I ain't never heard of them, and that's why I try to negotiate to get another letter for you. All right, you don't appreciate that. The other thing that I tried to do is to make sure, all right, that you have every opportunity to succeed on this station. And to that point, I wanted to see if all the other stations in L.A. would just turn their transmitters off.
And yeah, that's very funny, too. All right, are you...
Well, that's about the only way you're going to succeed. No, I'm kidding. I
thanks a lot, okay.
Well, gee, Phyllis...
What are you looking at?
That is pretty good to get another letter.
How come we only have three?
Are you guys serious with that or something?
What?
What do you mean, how come they only got three? Some stations had three.
Yeah, I noticed that, man. They don't make no three anymore.
They ought to make three letters because it's more fun and everything.
I don't care. They don't make three. They don't make three, man. They used to do three. Now they do four.
Probably ran out of a different combination, huh?
Maybe. You know, and how many different combinations are there of three letters starting with K? How many combinations are there three letters starting with W? W-A-B, W-A-C, W-A...
Well, you can't say whack. You got to say whack radio.
Yeah, hey, it's 2 o'clock on a whack.
I don't know, man, and I don't really, you know, it's not important to me. But if you're going to sit down and negotiate with somebody on my behalf, hey, let's get Phil something. Tell you what, can you guys add a letter? 877-876-PHIL, welcome to the... Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific. It's the Phil Henry Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio there in Los Angeles, and that's on Saturday nights. Now, we wanted to tell you about Donald Trump running for president. Is that right? Yeah, Donald Trump is thinking about running for prez, and he is eyeing the White House for the second time. The first was a Donald Trump run, I believe, back in 1999. Here is Donald Trump.
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican, yes. Well, I'm going to make a decision probably by June.
You're worth more than $1 billion. How much are you willing to spend?
Oh, I'd spend a lot. Yeah, I'm worth a lot.
I'm having a hard time figuring out how serious you are about this. You're obviously passionate about a lot of issues, but you've walked up to this line.
I'm passionate about the country.
So this isn't another reality show?
No, no, I've done very well. I've had a show that for many nights was the number one show on television. That I don't need that.
Yeah, audio courtesy of ABC. Of course he's serious, Stephanopoulos. He's not fooling around. What a silly question. That's about as stupid a question as the one that they used to ask about Andy Kaufman. Do you think he's still alive? Yes, he's serious. That's not the question. Will the voters take him serious? That's the question. Anyway, Trump, the brash billionaire star of his own reality show, which was number one for 8 million years. I mean, anyway, he is considering a run as a Republican in 2012. One principal policy as president. Now, listen to this. This doesn't sound like a joke. One principal policy as president would be to take on China's mighty economy. China, quote, is getting away with murder, end quote, says Trump, by manipulating its currency to U.S. disadvantage. He said, calling the United States a whipping post. Well, the whipping post is what we get tied to, Mr. Trump. It would be whipping boy. Anyway, the respect for this country is just not there, he said. I have many people from China that I do business with, and they laugh at us. They feel we're fools. You're doing business with cats that are laughing at you? Anyway, and almost being led by fools, and they can't believe what they're getting away with. This was not Trump's first trial balloon. We mentioned 99. If he did challenge for the nomination, he might well find himself up against another controversial character with her own reality show, Alaska's former governor, Sarah Palin. Donald Trump will present the same conundrum that a H. Ross Perot presents, a successful businessman, a guy that knows economics. How well does Donald Trump know the world of politics and diplomacy? And that's a good question, because the big bash on Perot was that while it's great to run your own company as an autocrat, when you're president of the United States, you are not an autocrat. You're president of the United States. You got to listen to this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, this guy. You have the bully pulpit. You've got influence. But you cannot just simply say thus and so, and it happens that way. It ain't like that. So we'll find out. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are we coming back with, man? New details, rather, have emerged in the slaying of a top Hollywood publicist. Plus, still to come tonight, the Dr. Green Thumb Report on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You don't want another letter?
No.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
They made it up.
No, they didn't make it up, man. This is incredible. You know, every night I flip on the military channel because, frankly, it's the only channel that, I don't know, it's the only channel that I'm interested in watching. And anyway, they have, some nights they've got some footage that's the most incredible stuff I've ever seen. And you think they made that up?
Yeah, those are actors.
You know, you got to be some kind of an idiot, man. That stuff is real. Look at that. See that?
Well, yeah, that's real.
That's real footage. What do you mean, actors? They've got incredible footage of the U.S. infantry in that hedgerow country there in Normandy. And I don't know where they get this stuff. I really don't. But they had this man, Mr. Ehlers, on, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And that's what Ron Tarner was giving me a hard time about.
Yeah, well, he was talking about how you're getting your jollies.
I'm not getting my jollies, man. For the fifth time, I ain't getting my jollies. You believe that?
No, but that's what he said.
He gets his kicks keeping his kid out in 29-degree weather. I don't get my kicks doing that.
Yeah, but you were talking about that guy getting blown up.
So I talked about the guys. Do you understand what I was talking about? I was talking about his brother.
Yeah, you said his brother got blown up, and you said it looked cool and everything.
You know something? You're a lying sack, man. I never said that.
Yeah, I know you didn't say that, but you said it said the brother got blown up.
Yeah. Did I say that it was cool? Did I say it looked bitchin'? No. I said this man, Mr. Ehlers, saw his brother's craft, his landing craft, get a rocket. Okay. Get my kicks. Boy, oh boy.
Well, I probably misheard.
Yeah, well, you know, there's something new. Now listen to this, folks, because you're going to... It's not that weird, but it's just, this is typically Americana these days. Boy, everybody's got to sign off on something. You want to know why nobody takes a, you know why people don't just step out and just step out and say, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing. I'm going to do this because this is the right, and come what may, you know. Now, there are people that do that. They think they're doing the right thing, and they've done exactly the wrong thing, and they find out all too quickly. But I mean, just making a decision, you know? Now, here is a great example of how nobody wants to make a decision. In Chicago, Illinois this weekend, Northwestern University is going to be playing a football game against Illinois. And guess where they're going to play it? Well, they're going to play it at Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field, the home of the Chicago Cubs. Now, I don't know the last time they played a football game at Wrigley Field, but I know the Bears used to play there. Now, you know that a baseball stadium, its configuration is much different from what one would want optimally for football. You know, it's a diamond-shaped field, and football is rectangular. You can fit a rectangular field into a baseball diamond shape, but it depends on how much room you'll have when you run into the end zone, or you're running right into a brick wall. And at Wrigley Field, that's exactly what will happen in one of the end zones. So, what the Big Ten decided to do was to say on offensive plays, they'll always be aiming at the end zone with the most room. Now, the Big Ten announced today that the schools had agreed to drastic and unusual changes for the game at the home of the Chicago Cubs, including running all offensive plays toward the end zone that doesn't happen to come within a foot or so of a padded brick wall. If you've ever seen old, and you know, go on YouTube or get out your old, you know, highlight DVDs and take a look at some of those old Chicago Bear games, you can see the guys are catching touchdown passes and they're 3 feet away from a brick wall and then falling into the stands. This is the first football game at Wrigley Field in 40 years, so 1970. The change was approved, along with a few others, by the NC2A. Okay, and if the move sounds like a last-minute surprise, well, the Chicago Cubs think so, too, because the Cub president said, I don't get it, man. The field dimension layout was delivered to the Big Ten 8 months ago. Last month, the field was built exactly to the dimensions previously approved by the Big Ten. So, in other words, they chalked the field out to the dimensions previously approved by the Big Ten. Last week, a Big Ten official performed an on-site visit to Wrigley Field, participated in a field walkthrough, and raised no issue with the field dimensions, the painted lines, or the boundaries previously approved by the Big Ten. But what do you think happened? Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney released a statement that credited both schools with doing significant due diligence over the past 18 months. He said the actual layout prompted the change to keep the players safe. Now, where do I think this thing should have come? You know, where do I think this should have? It should have obviously been the following. We have this thing and it's there. Right. Is it cool? It's cool. Well, we're playing again. Oh, no, I think what we need to do is no, 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 no. Why? Well, we're not changing it to go one way. What's the point of playing at Wrigley Field for the first time in 40 years so we go out there looking like a Pop Warner team? What are you talking about? We're just trying to keep the players safe. If you want to keep the players safe, don't have the game at Wrigley Field. Do you understand? What is football, man? Football is going back and forth on a gridiron. You go there, I go there. Oh, what difference does it make? Well, I got to, let's just do this now. From now on, man, let's just go one way on all the fields. Well, we have season ticket holder. You got that right. Look, if you guys approved it and that's the way it's going to be and it's beautiful and everything is right, then that's the way it's going to be. Well, what about the safety of our players? You should have thought of that 18 months ago, just like the man said. All of a sudden, somebody opens their big, yeah, and nobody, everybody is so afraid of their own shadow. The problem is that the east end zone nearly about the nearly abuts the right field wall, which has been heavily padded. The field is laid out east-west for the first football game at Wrigley Field since the Bears left for Soldier Field following the 1970 season. Back then, Bears games were played north-south, but there wasn't much room there either. And everyone decided the east-west layout was the way to go for Saturday's in-state showdown. Due to Wrigley's history in the world of sports, the field was chosen as a good venue for two Illinois teams to throw down. And it is. Anyway, more about this next hour. And also coming up, TSA allegedly makes a cancer victim remove her prosthetic breast. If you're ready for that, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Button Robert next in our news hour.
Phil Hendry.